Jesus the Shepherd. Amen. Today you've heard the prediction of the betrayal of Judas and the words of the Lord's Supper. What contrast! To be deceived, to be betrayed by one of his own apostles, Judas, who was also a thief, who acts like he's doing nothing, but he well knows he's about to betray the Son of Man. Jesus knows it, he knows it, but the other apostles don't. And he will carry out this dastardly, wicked deed in a moment in the Garden of Gethsemane. But yet, in the midst of that then, Jesus gives us the greatest gift of all, the Lord's Supper. The shepherd gave his life for the sheep that love to wander. The shepherd, as the Lamb of God, gives us his body and blood for the forgiveness of our sins. And so tonight, we see that we are lost sheep, but the good shepherd finds us. Though Judas will betray Jesus, the Lord gives us the gift of the Lord's Supper in his mercy and love. What punishment so strange is suffered yonder? The shepherd dies for sheep that love to wander. The master pays the debt his servants owe him, who would not know him. These words are a powerful picture. The shepherd Jesus is troubled in his heart. He knows what Judas is about to do. He is the master, he is their Lord, but he's going to do something amazing. He is going to pay the debt that they owe him. This is the amazing thing about the atoning sacrifice of Christ. Think of it. We owed the debt, but Jesus paid our debt in his own body and blood. The master paid the debt that we owed. And the shepherd dies for sheep that love to wander. The shepherd gives his life for all these sheep that are going this way and that way and everywhere, who act like they don't even know Jesus. But Jesus the shepherd gave his life for those who love to wander. Oh, how marvelous is Jesus' love as the shepherd of the sheep. For the good shepherd would become the lamb, the innocent lamb of God, to take away the sin of the world. May the good shepherd gather you when you wander to himself, and rejoice that he paid the debt in full in his body and blood that you and I owed. The sinless Son of God must die in sadness. The sinful child of man may live in gladness. Man forfeited his life and is acquitted. God is committed. The sadness the Son of God. You know, in happy, clappy Christianity today, where people turn Christianity into saccharine, marshmallow spirituality, where the Lord is supposed to meet all of your felt needs, and you always go around with a silly smile on your face, is not authentic Christianity. There is a time to mourn and weep, and there's a time to rejoice. There is a time to consider the sadness the Son of God. What sadness is his? He is the sinless Son of God. He must die in sadness upon the cross. He says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do, but they still nail him to the cross. The people that walk by mock him. The soldiers spit on him and crown him with thorns. And all the people who come by say, oh, so you're the Christ. Well, save yourself then if you're the Christ. The Son of God dies in sadness, so we, the sinful child of man, may live in gladness. This is called the great exchange. The sinless man, Jesus, the perfect and holy man, the Son of Man, who will come in glory on the last day, is the Son of God who came from heaven to earth to take our sin upon himself. And so we sinful children here on earth receive his righteousness as a gift. This great exchange really is what Lent is all about. Jesus becomes sin for us, and God gives us his righteousness. This exchange, Jesus as our great substitute, comes from the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The shepherd of the sheep gathers you to himself. Consider the sadness of the Son of God, and remember that sadness during Lent. And realize that in times of your sadness, the Lord knows sadness to the greatest depths that we will never understand. The shepherd of the sheep gathers us. The sadness of the Son of God enables us to live in gladness. And lastly, the spotlessness of the Lamb of God is the only thing that can heal us. The verse that we sang today has got to be the best verse in our hymnal about our sinful state. There was no spot in me by sin untainted. Sick with sin's poison, all my heart had fainted. My heavy guilt to hell hath well not brought me. Such woe it wrought me. Our stained condition, called sin and poison and guilt and woe, that even causes fainting, you can well relate to. Think of the time, the thing that bothered you the most that you had done to someone, and it weighed heavy on your heart. It did feel like you had drunk poison. You did feel woe and guilt. Maybe you couldn't sleep at night. Maybe you felt faint in heart. The only way that was relieved, the only way that was removed, was through Jesus, the spotless Lamb, who bore your sin in his innocence. In Holy Communion, when you receive with the bread Christ's body and with the wine Christ's blood, you have clung to those words. I know, because I'm the one giving you communion, and I can see that in your eyes and in your faces. You are saying, Lord, be merciful to me as I receive Christ's body and blood, clinging to the words of Jesus, given for you for the forgiveness of your sins. Think of that. The spotless Lamb of God assures you, despite the woes, despite the poison, despite the guilt, I am removing your guilt, and I have given you forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation. I am the spotless Lamb of God who gives this gift to you. So, we know during Lent that Jesus predicted the betrayal by Judas. Jesus gives us the gift of the Lord's Supper. May the Holy Spirit, the shepherd who died for us, sheep that loved to wander, bring you into his flock, take away your sadness, and give you gladness in the spotless Lamb of God. And dear fellow sheep, let us wander no more. Amen. To Christ alone be glory forever. Amen.